Well, I certainly was so surprised that morning. We got there at about 15:20 after 6. She had to be there by 6:30, and that was 6:30 our time. And so we had walked into the front lobby, her and my daughter and I, and she had checked in, and we just went over to sit down. And we hadn't been sitting there a minute, and they called Clara's name to go with one of the nurses to get her ready. And she got up and walked away from me, and I was watching her, because that morning we got there, we got out of the Tahoe, and I walked around to open her door, and Joy was getting out. As I let her out, I said, let's stop right here. And Joy was still getting out, and I put my arms around her, and I bowed my head, and I said, Lord, I said, I've not asked you to do a whole lot of things in life, but I'm asking you to do one thing today. I want you to touch my wife and just let everything be all right. We wept there at the car, and we went on in, and as she was walking away from me, I was watching her because I wanted to see what response she had. She hadn't broke down, but I was thinking maybe she might. And as she walked away from me, I saw her walking around the corner to meet that nurse there. And I noticed she walked by this fella, but I wasn't watching who he was. I was watching her back. I wanted to see her response. And just as soon as she went by him, my eye instantly glanced back, and there it was, Brother Richardson.
Amen.
And I immediately hollered at my wife. I said, Clara, and she didn't hear me. And I got up and I said, Clara, I said, look who's here. I was a loss of words. And then I think I did say, what are you doing here? I mean, he drove all this distance just to be with me and my wife during that surgery. And he stayed till 12:30 that day. And I didn't expect nobody to come. Nobody came from our church. A bunch of them wanted to come. Some of the men wanted to come, and the ladies. And I said, no, it'll be all right. You all got things you all need to do. Don't come. She's going to have the surgery. We're going to bring her home about 4 or 5 o'clock. And if everything works out all right, I said, don't, you all just pray. That's all any of us can do is just pray. Don't come. We've always been there for other people, but, you know, we preachers don't ever expect nobody to come.
No.
But Brother Lawrence will never know what that meant to me. Out of all the preachers I know across this country, a lot of them knew about it, but he's the only one that came. And I appreciate him tonight. I appreciate him as a friend. He's been a friend to me ever since our paths crossed. That evening we met here on this property many years ago. I didn't even know him as a preacher then. I just needed someone that I needed to talk to that day and about our children and what was happening in the public school system near here and what they was trying to do to us. And I was upset over it. And he became a friend. And God meant for our paths to cross. And I want to say tonight and move on, I appreciate him, and I appreciate this church and the love and the concern that you all showed my family and I through the years. And I love the Lord tonight more than anything, and I feel honored. He could have asked a lot of preachers to come and preach this week, but he's asked me, and I feel honored, and I appreciate you all letting me come and preach what God gives me. And it's not much, but it's God's word, and that's all that matters. Well, if I can get a hold of myself here, let's turn to Isaiah 1. Isaiah 1. Mercy. Isaiah 1. I'm glad we have friends. But I'm glad there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Well, Isaiah chapter 1, would you stand in honor to the reading of the Word of God tonight? In Isaiah 1, beginning at verse 1, the vision of Isaiah the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, and Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his mother's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. I want to bring my thoughts tonight from verse 3. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. You may be seated tonight. The prophet Isaiah was both a great prophet and a preacher and a political consultant of his day. The Bible tells us here that Isaiah served under four administrations or kings that ruled in the land of Judah. He served under King Uzziah and Ahaz and Jotham and Hezekiah. And yet in the year that King Uzziah died, we find in the Word of God that Isaiah the prophet went into the ministry and God called him as his preacher and minister. Hezekiah's boy, Manasseh, was responsible, we know, for the death of Isaiah. And Isaiah begins preaching, and his message was to basically Israel, but in particular it was to Judah. In verse 2 he said, I have nourished and brought up children and they have rebelled against me. That is, God said they have forgotten me. They have forgotten who I am and they have forgotten about my blessings that I have sent their way. And Israel had got to the place of self-sufficiency and it was a time of prosperity. And in that time, Israel and Judah had forgotten the God of Israel. And the Bible said they did not know, neither did they consider. In other words, God said even a dumb ox knows his master's crib, and the ass knows his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, neither doth they consider. You know, we're no different in America today. My friend, we're in the same shape today. We're richer than we've ever been. We're more fatter than we've ever gotten. We're more blessed than we've ever been blessed. And we've got more stuff than we've ever had. And yet we've got less of God than we've ever had in this nation today. Israel doth not know in verse 3. My people doth not consider. I'd like for a little while tonight preach on that thought. My people doth not consider. It's a time when we make considerations of things again. If there's ever a time, it's now that we need to consider some things that we have forgotten and some things that we've let go by through the years. There are some things that we need to come back to and there are some things that we need to get a hold of and there are some things that we just need to draw back near us. My friend, I think about Laban as he went down and God reminded Jacob about Bethel. He told him to reconsider. The psalmist David, God told David to consider the days of old. You remember Jeremiah the prophet? God told Jeremiah, he said, remember the old paths and walk therein. There are some things that we need to consider. Israel doth not know, neither do my people consider. I'm convinced today, Grace, there's some things that we need to come back to and consider. This world needs to come back to the place of consideration. And we've not done that. There's some things we need to be reminded of. There's some things we need to note. There's some things that we need to return to. Israel did not know, neither do my people consider. I want you to note tonight some things that we need to consider. First of all, we need to consider the book. I'm not talking about just any book. I'm not talking about a book. I'm talking about the book. I'm talking about the book, the Word of God, the Holy Bible. Did you know the Bible is a holy book? And the word holy means it's consecrated, it's pure, it's set aside, it's different. My friend, it's just not a book, it's God's book. It's not just words, it's God's words. And I thank God that He has preserved a copy of the King James Bible unto this generation. I don't know about you today, but we hold in our hands today the best thing that we've ever held, and that is the Word of God. We don't need to pass God's Word off as just any other book, but it's God's book. The old timers used to call it the good book. Would you consider tonight with me the book? I believe folks have forgotten about this book. Three things about this book. Number one, note the inspiration. Consider the inspiration of this book. The word inspiration means it's God-breathed. The Bible said in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. Paul said to young Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1, I charge thee there before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word, be it in season, out of season. Exhort, rebuke with all long suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and shall turn their ears unto fables, or turn their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fable. We're living in a generation today that people don't want the preaching of this book. And all we need to consider tonight, we need to consider the book, we need to consider its inspiration. I love the Bible when it's sung. My friend, our churches today in this country have got away from the hymn books, and they're singing all sorts of things, and there's nothing wrong with a praise song, but I tell you, we don't need to forget about the hymn book, because it's all about Him. We're taking the blood songs out and songs of doctrine, and we're putting other things in, and my friend, it don't mean as much. I love the Bible when it's sung, but I love it when it's preached. I love when it's taught. I love when it's exhorted. I love when it's explained. It's inspired. It's inspiration. It's inspired, meaning God breathed. God breathed the Word with His own lips. Not only God's Word, it's God's words, the words of God. There's 31,102 verses in the Bible. There's 610,452 words in the Bible. The Bible said in 2 Peter, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecies came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. We're living in a day of mega movements and mega dollars today, and folks have turned the love of God into lasciviousness and idolatry, and they have sought to commercialize the gospel of this book. My friend, they've rewritten the Bible not for clarification, but for profit. That's the world we're living in. But the Bible says that the Word of God is inspired. My friend, it's a book that don't need to be rewritten. It just needs to be read.
Amen.
It's not a book doesn't need to be corrected. It needs to be believed. And my friend, it's not a book that needs to be explained. It needs to be expounded. I believe in this book, the Bible. Would we consider the book tonight and its inspiration? Our problem today is we've got a bunch of dead preachers in dead churches preaching from dead Bibles that's trying to get dead sinners saved, and it's not working.
Amen.
That's our problem.
Yeah.
It takes the living Word of God. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Somebody said the Bible is out of date. The Bible ain't out of date. It's as up to date as tomorrow's newspaper. Somebody said, well, the book is out of time. My friend, the book is not out of time. It never runs out of time.
Right.
It's everlasting. It's forever settled.
Yeah.
Would you not only consider the inspiration of the book, but what about the infallibility of the book? Infallibility means it's absolutely trustworthy. This Bible will never fail. This Bible will always come to pass. The mark of a true prophet was that what he prophesied would come to pass. The Bible said in Matthew 5:17-18, Jesus said, think not that I am come to destroy the law and the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth shall pass away, or not one jot or tittle shall in no wise pass from the law until all be fulfilled. The Bible said in Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. David said in Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. My friend, the word of God is infallible. But my friend, would you consider tonight the inerrancy of the word of God? Not only the inspiration and the fallibility, but the inerrancy. The word inerrancy means it's free from error. There's no errors in this Bible. Amen. Everything about the Bible is right. David said in Psalm 34:4, he said, for the word of the Lord is right, and all of his works are done in truth. David said, keep of truth forever. Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth, for thy word is truth. I believe every word that's in this Bible. They tell us that when the Constitution was written, it was a living, breathing document. That, my friend, by that they were trying to say that the Constitution today is out of date because it does not meet the times in which we live. But when it comes to the Word of God, I'm going to stand here and say to all of us, the Bible is a living, breathing document, and it's never out of date. It's just as valid today as it was in the days of Moses. It's the Word of God. I love the Bible. My people do not consider. Would we consider the book tonight? Secondly, would we consider the blood? We not only need to consider the book, but we need to consider the blood. The Bible said, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. All of us can acclaim tonight, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. Would you consider the blood tonight? Would you consider the blood that it is a pure blood? It's pure. The Bible said in Hebrews 4:15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He is righteous in every way. He's perfect in every way. The blood of Jesus Christ was pure, spotless blood, and it was saving blood. There's no salvation apart from that pure blood. If any blood could save, then why did not man's sin pay for his own sin? It couldn't. It took the pure, spotless, sinless blood. It was pure blood. Would you consider the blood tonight? It's not only pure blood, but may I say, it's powerful blood. How powerful is it, preacher? It's powerful enough to save the entire world if they would, by faith, in repentance and faith, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to Paul. Paul said in Hebrews 9:11, But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and of calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Verse 13, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot and purged our sins from dead works to serve the living God. I thank God for that powerful blood tonight. The blood has not lost its power. That old song said, though millions may come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. I'm glad that we need to consider the blood, because it's pure blood, powerful blood, but may I say, it's purging blood. The only way a person can get their sins purged is through the blood of Christ. The Bible said, in the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. It's through the blood that we get our sins purged and taken away. Most of us in this generation are computer geeks, if that's what you want to call us. I heard the other day that they printed a new Bible. In Matthew it says that the geek shall inherit the kingdom of God. Ain't nothing to that. But a lot of us are computer geeks today. We're all computerized. I saw Brother Lawrence up there in Lexington that day, and he had one of them things sitting on his dash, and it told him every turn to turn. We went out and ate dinner that day, and it told, I mean, that thing knowed where the streets was. I thought, my goodness, why they didn't invent that thing 30 years ago? I needed that thing in the best, worst of ways. Now I bought me one. Hey, there's been times, I'm going to tell you something on Preacher Roark tonight. There's been times when I've left here in camp meeting, got halfway up that road and got on 65 and went all the way past where I should have turned to go towards Somerset. I've done that twice coming down here. I put that thing on, I've had it now a week or so, and I turned that thing on yesterday evening there, and buddy, I tell you what, didn't miss a turn all the way down here.
Amen.
We're computer geeks today. Did you know they tell us that whatever you've got on your hard drive, that you can mass it together and you can send it to the waste can, but somebody that's smart enough can go and retrieve it out of that waste can.
Yeah.
Now they tell us that you can put things on your hard drive and you can do something to it, and it'll take somebody with a smart fellow that's invented the hard drive or works on them, that they can retrieve it out. But there is such a thing that can be done that they can wipe everything off of that and take all the software off and then just clean the hard drive and it's fresh and new again. It can't ever be retrieved. May I say to you and I tonight, in that Old Testament, under that old covenant, the Old Testament sacrificial system, my friend, Israel's sins were massed together. And they were pushed forward until one more year they'd come and offer a sacrifice again, continually, over and over again. But I'm glad that when Jesus came, thank God, He took our sins and He purged them. And my friend, they cannot be found tonight.
Amen.
Thank God for that. Oh, listen. They're behind his back. They're in the depths of the sea. They're as far as the east as from the west. They're propitiated in the blood. They're dissolved in the rich, royal, righteous, red, redeeming, ransom, reconciling blood of the crucified Lamb of God. Would you consider tonight, it's purging blood, but it's plentiful blood. Consider that blood. I've heard all my life, Brother Lawrence, you have too. I've heard all my life these folks out here that says, you know, Jesus shed one drop of blood for your salvation and one drop of blood for my salvation. My friend, people may believe that, but I don't believe that. My friend, it took more than one drop of blood. That may sound good and it sounds sweet, but that's not right. My friend, if one drop of His blood could save our sins, then all He'd had to done would have stuck a pin in His finger and let a little drop of blood come out for everybody who came to Him.
Amen.
No, 1,000 times no. He shed all of His blood for my sin and your sin. John said in John 19, out came blood and water. He shed His blood for you and for me. Now don't let none of that bother you. Why? You say, preacher, why? That shouldn't bother us, because the same blood that saved Peter and John and Matthew and Mark, the same blood that saved Paul is the same blood that saves you and me. My friend, it's not in limited supply. Oh, it's limited. Oh, yes. There's only one way to get your sins forgiven. That's through the blood of the Son of God. But it's not limited. There's enough blood to save the whole world.
Amen.
I'm glad. Would we consider tonight the book? But would we consider tonight that blood? It's pure blood. It's powerful blood. It's purging blood. But it's plentiful blood.
Yeah.
But my friend, listen tonight. Would we consider not only the book, the blood, but would you consider the blessings of God tonight? We're so ungrateful in this nation. How miserable and ungrateful is this generation that we're living in today? I think about Luke 19 and them 10 lepers that came to Jesus and they cried when they saw the Lord. Because the law was, you had to cry out, unclean, unclean. You had to hold your hand over your mouth. Unclean, unclean. And Jesus sent them to the priest. And as they went their way, they realized all 10 of them had been healed.
Yeah.
But only one returned to thank the Lord. Where was the other 9? That typifies our generation today. We're living in an ungrateful and an unthankful generation today. Did you know that the Bible, will you listen to me? Did you know that the Bible compares the sin of ingratitude in the same category as He does reprobates and sinners and homosexuals? If you don't believe that, go home and read the first chapter of Romans. The Bible said in Romans 1:21, listen to it. Because that when they knew not, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. The sin of ingratitude is in the same category as reprobates and sinners and homosexual. So many in the church age today is miserably guilty of this sin. We're so ungrateful and so unthankful. We're blessed beyond measure. We're blessed on every side. Would you not agree tonight that we're wondrously blessed? We're marvelously blessed. We're gloriously blessed and we're graciously blessed, but yet we're so unthankful. Look in Isaiah 1:3. The Bible said, Israel doeth not know, neither do my people. My people do not consider. It's time that we consider the blessings of God. It's a sign of our last days in which we're living. The Bible said in 2 Timothy, but know this, that in the last times, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. They shall be covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, and unthankful. Unthankful. Listen, I'm not very smart, but I do know enough about this. Did you know what happens when we're a generation that's unthankful? We'll become unholy. When we're unthankful for what God has done for us, we'll become unholy. When you forget about where your blessings have come from, then you won't serve the God who gave them to you. When our worship suffers, it won't be long until our lifestyle suffers. I don't buy this stuff. I hear it all the time up in the mountains where I come from. Well, preacher, I don't come to church and worship right, but I live right. That's baloney. That's just a bunch of baloney. And I tell them so. I tell them so. That's just a bunch of baloney. Well, I don't come to church and I don't worship, but I live right. Well, you rascal, you ought to live right. You ought to live right at the church and you ought to live right at home. But if you're living right, you'll be at church. Hello. Israel doeth not know, my people doeth not consider. When we become unthankful, we become unholy. God says here, the ox knows his owner. The ass knows his master's crib. The stubborn old mule that plows in the field. When we grew up, that's all we had. My daddy never did own a tractor. We never did have anything that run by a motor when we grew up on the farm. All we had was them old two mules and a sled. We didn't even have a wagon. We had sled to haul our hay and tobacco in on. But the mule knows when he plows the corn, he knows where to go get fed in the corn crib, in the stall. Israel do not know, my people do not consider. Would you consider tonight not only the book, the blood, but that blessings, my friend, the blessings of God. Have you considered the blessings of God tonight in salvation? If you ain't got nothing else to rejoice over, you ought to rejoice over the fact that God has saved you. The Bible said we ought to rejoice that our names are written in heaven. The world can take a lot of things away from us. And I'm convinced we're living in a day that some of our freedom rights will be took away from us. But there's one thing they won't ever be able to take away. And that's the Jesus that lives in our hearts. My friend, the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 6, 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicator, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. We can look back and think of the ungodly lives that we used to live. When I was growing up as a boy, my daddy taught me as a young boy how to curse and abuse God's name in vain. And I acted like a sailor and lived like a sailor and cursed and swore just like my daddy. But Paul said, such as these will not go to heaven. But listen, Paul said, but such were some of you. Aren't you glad Paul put that in there? Aren't you glad that that's the way it used to be? But now we're changed. We're different. We don't live that lifestyle no more. Everything's different now. Oh, it's so different now since Jesus came in and saved our souls. Have you considered the blessings of God in salvation? But have you considered the blessings of God in sustenance? You think about what God's given us. My friend, our bellies could be rubbing a blister on our backbone. We could be starving to death in some foreign country, deprived of food. But look at us tonight. We'll not go to bed hungry. Would you consider tonight the blessings of God in sustenance? Oh, listen, ain't none of us barefooted here tonight unless you pulled your shoes off after you got in here. I didn't look out there in the parking lot today and see any Rolls Royces or Mercedes sitting out there, but I saw a lot of other kinds. I'm saying tonight God certainly blessed us in this generation. My friend, we're blessed. We've got nicer things today than we've ever had. I remember when God saved me to preach back in 75. And I went into the ministry. I didn't, listen, My friend, I didn't even have a suit. All I had was an old wool suit jacket that somebody had gave me, and I had a sock tie that I bought at the local Goodwill store. Like, it wasn't called a Goodwill store in that day. I think I'd give 25 cents for that old sock tie. Pitifulest thing I ever had. But that's all I had. And I wore it the first sermon that I ever preached. Only had one pair of slippers. Now I've got four or five pairs of slippers. I've got more suits than I can wear. And I've got all kinds of clean shirts. And oh, listen, God has been so good to me. He's been good to you too. I remember when we was growing up, my dad never did own a home. Mom and dad never owned a vehicle. Never did own any property. We lived on two different farms as we grew up, and dad sharecropped, and we helped people, and they helped us, and we worked, and dad paid the bill off after he sold the tobacco and raised us kids, and we were poor. We didn't have a thing. My daddy died, never owned a piece of property. Mom died, never had a home to live in to call her own. But tonight, up there in the foothills of the mountains of eastern Kentucky, setting up on a beautiful hillside, I've got a home tonight that's got four bedrooms and three full baths and two car garage. And God's blessed me to have it, and it's mine, and it's paid for. God's let me get it paid for. I've worked hard, I've paid my bills, and now I don't own anything on it. And I've got something for my wife. If something happens to me, I've got something that she can call her own and live till her days are out. God's been so good to me, more than I deserve. And I appreciate some of you that come and help me. Oh, God's been so good to me. Has He been good to you tonight? I don't have no money in the bank, and I can stand here, wouldn't stand here and say that, and lie for nothing in the world behind this pulpit. I don't have a dime in the bank tonight. My wife and I don't have no savings account. We don't have no stocks and bonds. You say, what do? We live from month to month. But God's paid my bills this past month. Sometimes I worry if enough money's going to come. My little church gives me $400 a week. And God saw fit for me and my wife to get her bills paid. I've got about $200 in my pocket tonight. That's all I've got. I left $100 with my wife in case she needed something. I didn't know what I'd run into. But God's been good to me. I'm trying to say tonight, why don't we consider the blessings of God? Consider the blessings of God in salvation. Consider the blessings of God in sustenance. Yeah. But what about consider the blessings of God in satisfaction? Mm-hmm. David said, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. You know what David was saying? I'm satisfied with Jesus. And I'm not going to turn to another. Uh-huh. Amen. I love Him tonight and He loves me. He's my Father and I'm His Son. I don't need nothing but Jesus because I'm satisfied with Him. I tell you, would you consider tonight, lastly, would you consider tonight the blessings of God and salvation and sustenance and satisfaction? But would you consider tonight God's blessings in sufficiency? Amen. There's coming a day of judgment. Paul said, and it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this is coming the judgment. Have you considered on the day of judgment there's nothing else that will be sufficient beside Him? Besides Him. You know, there's one reason and one reason only that we can stand before God someday with a pure heart and clean hands. It's because He will be sufficient when all other else fails. He will be sufficient. Have you considered today? Have you considered? Israel doeth not know, my people doth not consider. The ox knoweth his master, but Israel doth not know. neither do they consider. Have you considered tonight his book? Have you considered tonight his blood? Have you considered tonight his blessings? Grace, all I can say to you tonight is, don't ever lose what you've got. No, you may not have a church running over and the walls busting out, but you've not compromised.
Amen.
To have those things. We're losing some things in this country, and people don't even consider. Did you know that Massachusetts has voted same-sex marriage?
Yes.
California,
Vermont.
It's coming. It's coming. Did you know that, my friend, we're not even considering what we're letting happen in this nation? When they can go in the public school system and teach your kids with a little book about two men raising children, and that's called a family. That's sad. It's coming. If we don't stand up and consider what's coming. Israel doth not know, neither do my people consider. Have we considered tonight? We need to consider his book, the blood, and the blessings of God. My friend, here's what I'm going to ask us to do tonight. Are we so complacent in our church life? And I'm not saying that we don't need a song. I believe we need to get a song. But my friend, we're so routine in what we do. When the Word of God is preached, we ought to listen with intent and let the Spirit of God speak to us. We ought not have to be begged to come to an altar. We ought not have to be pleaded. We ought not have to have a song to pump us up to come. And I don't mean nothing by that. I mean that in the right way. But I want to ask us tonight, in the days that we're living, have we not considered a Savior that we've got? That we ought to come to Him. Come without a complaint. Lord, I don't come with a complaint on my heart tonight, but I come to just get on my face and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the book that we have. Thank you for the preachers that we have to preach to us. Thank you for the blood that covers our sins. Thank you for the good blessings that you've given us. God's blessed. I thank God for what He's done for my wife and my family in the last few weeks. It could have been a lot worse that day that my wife was at her job and they had took those biopsies and they called her and we were praying that it wouldn't be cancer since she wouldn't have to go through the surgery, and the doctor called and I was at the house. I was there in the yard, and my phone rang, and she was on the other end, and I knew by her voice it wasn't good. I heard her. She couldn't say nothing. And I said, honey, what's wrong? And she was crying. She said, it's cancer, and they're going to have to do surgery. I got off of that phone and I fell in my yard. I said, Lord, you brought us this far. We've been married 35 years and we put you first in our life. I've went all over this country preaching the Word of God for you. I pastored everywhere you sent me and done the best I could. We're trusting you to take care of this problem. What did God say, preacher? Well, he didn't answer me right then. But oh, I'm glad that he does work. And they were worried that it done went to her lymph nodes. And if it went to her lymph nodes, she was going to take chemotherapy. And then it would have been bad. But, oh, God gave us good news. And when we went back the other day, Wednesday, the doctors told us, both of them said, there's no trace of cancer. We got it all. There's no cancer in anywhere else. And now all you have to do is take the radiation in the spot where you've got it, where you're taking the cancer out. And we feel like in 5 years, there's going to be a 3-5% chance that there'll be any cancer left in your body. God's good. No, God didn't take the cancer away, but he did come through with a good result. And I praise him for that. If there's any reason, we ought to want to get on the altar and thank him for his goodness and for the blessings of God. It ought to be in the day in which we live. Israel do it not know, neither do my people consider. Have you considered the book, the blood, the blessings of God? Let's stand together. Let's stand. Brother Lawrence, the song leader's going to come. Let's get a song.